This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Last year, just a couple of months into the coronavirus pandemic, two college best friends from Illinois came together to collect and donate bras and tampons to women who need them. And with the power of the popular video social media platform TikTok, they've managed to expand their idea from a pandemic project to a full-on nonprofit, with volunteers across the country working to fight what you might call period poverty. Period poverty is a public health crisis. It affects low-income women across the country. In fact, a 2019 study found nearly two-thirds of the women surveyed struggled to afford products to help them manage their periods. Joining us today to talk about fighting period poverty in Illinois is Alexa Mosenzadi. She's a co-founder of the Chicago-based nonprofit organization Her Drive and a student at Emory University. Alexa, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Professor Ann Siebert-Kullman. She has a PhD in health and behavior sciences, which is also what she teaches at St. Louis University. She's the author of the study, Unmet Menstrual Hygiene Needs Among Low-Income Women. Ann, thanks for being with us as well.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And a little later, we're going to be joined by an Illinois state representative who's also working in this area. For now, listeners, we'd like to invite you into our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. Again, 800-222-9455. If you want to talk about maybe you've had an experience with period poverty, difficulty obtaining needed menstrual hygiene products, or maybe you just have a question for one of our guests, 800-222-9455, or you can always tweet us at 21st Show. And I want to begin with you. Can you describe what period poverty means for our listeners who might be unfamiliar with this concept?
Yes. So period poverty is a term that's used to refer when those who menstruate don't have access to the products, to the privacy, to restrooms, clean water, soap, any of the things that are needed to kind of manage your menstrual hygiene and kind of manage that personal hygiene during menstruation.
So last June, just a few months into the pandemic, you and your friend co-founded your organization, Her Drive. Can you tell us about that and what you do there?
Yeah, so we launched in June and we collect bras, menstrual care, and general hygiene products for people in need. Initially, Jen and I just had the idea of staying within the Chicagoland area. But once we got traction on social media, it seemed that other people across the country were interested in sort of doing the same thing. And so we came up with this model of hosting a drive, and now we have like 350 drives scheduled for just this spring where people are able to take initiative in their own communities and collect items and then donate locally.
And so what inspired you to start doing this, to start collecting bras and period products to donate?
I think part of it was the space and the time that Jenica and I had with quarantine. You know, we just returned from college. We were pretty disoriented. But we had this time on our hands to work on an issue that we've been aware of for a long time. It's not that Her Drive addresses a new issue. It's just that we address it in a new way, I think. And so I remember Jen FaceTimes me and she's holding up this bra that she sewed by hand. And she was like, dude, we should hand sew these bras. We have the time and donate it to shelters in Chicago. And I was like, that's a great idea. It's just not feasible. But that doesn't stop us from collecting them. So that's when we launched our first drive.
I'm going to be honest with you. That is not a product I've heard of people making themselves. You hear about people making their own clothes and everything, but that's fascinating. And so you and your co-founder, you create TikTok videos to get the word out there. They've garnered a million likes across your videos now. Can you talk about what it's like going viral on this platform? I imagine some share of, I mean, I myself have fallen into numerous 45-minute, hour-long TikTok holes, but some of our listeners maybe are not as familiar with the app. What is it like, and particularly being on the viral side of that?
So TikTok is very unique because I think it is successful on short attention spans. So videos are like 10 to 15 seconds long. So it's definitely an unconventional way for a nonprofit to promote their cause, but it has been very effective. So when we posted our second TikTok ever, I think that was around July, we'd gotten really quick engagement. And like every 5 minutes I was refreshing our DMs and people were, you know, asking, how do I donate? How do I send my used bras? And I think part of the reason why our messaging has been so effective is because it is very simple and straightforward. And the items that we're asking for is something that everybody has, you know, in their cabinet or in their closet. And so that's why we focus so much on in-kind donations, is because anyone can really contribute if they're interested.
And how were you able to keep up with this surge in interest?
I think it was definitely a learning curve. When that first video went viral, it was like we didn't really have a balance of life and work. But at the same time, it was quarantine. So, you know, we had the space to invest. And so we've just been very consistent with our posting on TikTok and social media. And that's where we're based. So we don't have a physical location necessarily. So we do kind of have to hunker down and be effective in our messaging to get people aware of this issue.
Interesting. And you worked on a study, as I mentioned a little while ago, called Unmet Menstrual Hygiene Needs Among Low-Income Women. What were some of the barriers you found that low-income women in particular have when it comes to accessing adequate menstrual hygiene?
Yeah, so thank you. One of the biggest issues, obviously, is affordability, right? Just not having the money to buy products when you need them. So we found that almost 46% of the women in our survey were reporting not only this period poverty or unmet menstrual hygiene need, but also reporting food insecurity. So there's a big correlation there between food insecurity and period product needs. And then we also found, particularly for women without stable housing, that just kind of access to restrooms in general for, you know, your needs, whether it's during your period or not, was a big issue. And that, that, you know, during menstruation, that need is just exacerbated. So those were two of the main things that we found, is the affordability and then also kind of general need for access to restrooms.
I wonder if you have any stories you can share of how people deal with their periods when they can't afford to purchase these products off the shelf.
Yeah, so that's something that we asked the women in our study directly. We just said, you know, tell us about what you do when you can't afford products and you need them. And women were very honest and open. They're resourceful, right? Like, women have been dealing with this for a long time and they figure out a way to make do and get by. Making homemade pads and tampons from toilet paper, from paper towels and public restrooms. But we also heard stories that we didn't necessarily expect. So women cutting up their kids' diapers to use those, or using kind of socks and rags, anything that they could get their hands on. And I think one woman in particular stood out because she looked at me and said, you know, kind of looked me in the eye and said, yes, and imagine doing that and managing all that with just one pair of underwear, when you just own one pair of underwear. And anyone who's had a period and had to kind of make a makeshift pad or tampon just to get them by until they can get a product, borrow from a friend, get home, you know, get to the store, that type of thing, knows that there's often staining and leakage and that sort of thing. But if you imagine that that's how you're managing your period, not just for a few minutes or an hour or so until you can get products that you need, but that's how you manage your menstruation the whole cycle every month. And on top of that, you just have one pair of underwear. I mean, I think that really spoke to me about the extent of the need that we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the idea of period poverty, women who don't have access to adequate supplies to deal with their periods. We're speaking with Ann Siebert-Coleman, who's an associate professor of behavioral science and health education at St. Louis University. We're also talking with Alexa Mosenzadi, who is co-founder of Her Drive, a Chicago-based nonprofit that is fighting period poverty and using TikTok to garner donations, the video sharing app. And at this point, I'd also like to bring into the conversation Illinois State Representative Barbara Hernandez, Hernandez. She's a Democrat from Aurora. She's introduced legislation that would allow certain forms of government assistance money, including SNAP benefits, food aid, to be spent on feminine hygiene products. Representative Hernandez, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you for having me.
And last week, Representative, your legislation cleared its first hurdle. It was passed by a House committee. Can you talk a little bit more about what this legislation would do and what inspired you to introduce it?
Of course. So thank you so much for having me once again. This bill, HB 155, came about when I was actually going to a tour for a food pantry locally here in Aurora. Talking to them, I was in shock to hear that there wasn't anything under SNAP. It wasn't covered in benefits, and that women were reusing these products. As a woman, I know reusing a product is not an option. It's a public health issue. It can open the doorway for a lot of health concerns. And it was just upsetting to hear that. So during that time, I knew something had to be done. And that is why HB 155 is on the dock currently. It was passed in committee to be able to include the menstrual hygiene products in SNAP, WIC, and TANF. It looks like it's already included in TANF, but a lot of people don't know. So there's a lot of great movements coming our way.
And WIC, for people who are not familiar, is the Women, Infants, and Children program, which provides support for women to be able to get food and formula and things like that for young children. And I wonder if in your research you've come across other legislation like the one introduced by Representative Hernandez. How helpful do you think this might be in fighting period poverty?
Oh, I think it would be tremendously helpful. And there's a variety of legislation across the country kind of looking at different aspects of this. So some of the legislation is focused on taxation. So for example, in Missouri, period products are still taxed at the highest tax rate, the luxury goods rate. So there's been legislation introduced over the past few years to reduce that to the food rate or the essential goods rate. There are other places, so there's also legislation to make these products freely available to incarcerated women because they are in the federal system, but there's much variation at the state level. So I think this is great legislation that's been introduced and that there is a lot of legislative work going on across the country, but it's highly variable state to state.
Alexa, I wonder if you can talk about, for your organization, HerDrive, if you've gotten a chance to speak with some of the recipients of your donations and what they might have shared with you about their experiences.
So personally, because of COVID, it's been difficult for Jenica and I to be able to connect with our donor recipients, but we do have stories from volunteers who have distributed directly to people that are in need. And the response has been very positive. I think the reason why we've been able to be successful despite COVID, or maybe because of COVID, is because there has been such a focus on collecting PPE equipment for safety reasons. And I think, you know, menstrual care is a form of personal protection. And so the response has been very positive. And I'm happy that we can continue this despite everything that's happening right now.
And Representative Hernandez, I wanted to ask you, there was legislation passed in Illinois a few years ago. I think it was called the Learn with Dignity Act. It required that schools make feminine hygiene products available at no cost to students in bathrooms. There have been reports since it was enacted that some schools are not necessarily complying with the law. At Mateo Valley and District 204, at least according to one report, our producer found students were provided with free tampons and pads, but only in the nurse's office. I wonder, how do you see this issue affecting young women in particular, teenage girls even, especially with so many schools closed because of the pandemic?
Yes. Well, that's one of another bill that I do have that would hopefully close that gap, and it's HB 154 to amend the school code and be able to have the menstrual hygiene products in all bathrooms in the schools. So that is currently something that I'm working on. As we've known, students tend to miss school because they cannot get the products that they need, or they're embarrassed to even go to the nurse's office. Some schools are larger than others. I grew up in the east side of Aurora, went to East Aurora High School. We have more than 2,000 students. So that school overall is huge compared to others. So for me to go to a nurse's office would take me maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes to get to the nurse's office and then go back to class. So, and it's not feasible. So hopefully this will be able to help that and have the menstrual hygiene products at the access to the students right there at the bathroom.
And we are almost out of time in this conversation, but Professor Ann Siebert-Coleman, final thoughts from you, just a few sentences maybe on where you think this issue needs to go in terms of how we as a society are dealing with it.
Yes, I think, you know, both the examples from the representative and from her drive here are great examples of heading in the right direction. I always say that we need to educate, advocate, and donate. So raise awareness of the issue. And I appreciate this program and this segment doing that, advocating for the passage of legislation like the representative has introduced here, both for the SNAP and WIC and for the expanded access in schools, and then donations in those community organizations like Her Drive to kind of fill the gaps as we're working on creating a more broad access system-wide, right, population-wide. So I really commend all the efforts that are being highlighted here.
And Alexa Mosenzadi, last word to you, just super briefly, if people want to learn more, if they want to support your organization, where can they learn more about that?
You can go to www.herdrive.org. We have a donate button and also an Amazon wish list that helps us create kits for Chicago Public School students in need.
Okay. I want to thank my guests. They have been Alexa Mosenzadi, an Emory University student and the co-founder of Her Drive, a nonprofit organization dedicated to fighting period poverty. We've also been speaking with Illinois State Representative Barbara Hernandez from Aurora, who has legislation that would expand feminine hygiene benefits for SNAP recipients. And finally, Professor Ann Siebert-Coleman of St. Louis University. Thank you all for being here today. More to come on the 21st in just a moment. Stay with us.